Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening and welcome to another edition of the Score programme. On tonight's show, I'll be joined by Kevin McLaughlin to discuss the League of Ireland Premier Division action for Finn Harps and Derry City this coming weekend. It's another big few days ahead on the Gaelic Games front. The Tyrone Senior and Intermediate Football Finals are on Saturday and Sunday. We'll look ahead to those with Paddy Hunter, and Barry Meehan will run the rule over the Donegal Junior semi-finals, where four clubs, of course, will battle it out for a place in the decider. But first up, it's been a week of mixed feelings for Donegal jockey Oisín Orr. The Rathmullen man won the Irish St Ledger last Sunday at the Curra Racecourse in Kildare on search for a song for trainer Dermot Weld. It was Oisín's first Group 1 winner and only a second ever for a Donegal jockey. Oisín was back in the saddle in the days after, where he rode winners at Tipperary. But the week has been a sad one for horse racing following the passing of 12-time Classic winner Pat Smullen. I spoke with Oisín earlier this week, who said Pat was a big influence on his career.
Yeah, look, I was very lucky to know Pat. It was very unfortunate what happened to him, but he'd been very good to me. He got me the job in Mr. Weld, and look, I was a big supporter of his when he was riding. So, look, it's devastating what happened for his young family, and look, we send our condolences to them.
What made Pat Smullen so special?
Well, look, he was a gentleman out of the saddle, and when he was racing, he was just unique. He was one of a kind and just very good.
And I suppose the way he took on the sport and the way he looked at life, what sort of encouragement could you take from the things he did during his time? And obviously you had a very strong relationship with him and you knew him quite well. What could you carry forward into your young career now and into the future, Oisín, off the back of what he's taught you?
Look, well, I think you just have to enjoy life out through the racing. It's not the be all and end all at the end of the day. It's horse racing, but I think just to enjoy life, really. I think that's the main thing I'll take away from it.
Yeah, it's a sad time for horse racing, but I would say you certainly enjoyed your time in the saddle last Sunday at St Ledger. The biggest one of your career. It was a special day for you, Oisín.
Yeah, a very special day. There was a bit of pressure going in because the filly had won it last year, but she'd been in good form before and been galloping well. I know her runs this year, her first two runs, things just didn't go right, but her last run before the Ledger, look, she ran a good race to Magica, who went on to win the Champion Stakes. So looking back on it, it wasn't a bad run, and look, there was a bit of pressure going into the day, but luckily enough she went and done the business.
You've stepped up, of course, from apprentice in recent years. Did you think there would be such a short period of time before you got the opportunity to take such a big race in one of the big five classics here in Ireland?
Yeah, for sure. I was never expecting to keep the partnership with the filly. But look, I was very grateful when I did get the chance to ride her this year, and I'm very grateful for the owners and Mr. Weld.
You had to be patient in the race on Sunday as well, didn't you, Oisín? You were sitting about fifth or sixth coming around the last bend, and you really pushed hard towards the end. And the plan was right for Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Last year, she just was a bit keen, and she was a bit strong and got to the front of, I think, a mile out. But she's tough and genuine, and she galloped right to the line. But this year, everything went to plan. I was able to just sit fifth or sixth in behind them. And when I got the gap, she quickened up and she won it nicely.
What was the feeling afterwards? Has it actually settled in yet that you won the Ledger?
No, not really. It's unbelievable. I never thought it would happen, but for it to happen so early on in my career, anyway, it's brilliant.
Yeah. We talked about Pat Smolin earlier on and how he put you in the right direction and getting involved with Dermot Weld. You're now the top jockey for Dermot Weld through year, and the two of you have a great, great working relationship.
Yeah, definitely. Mr. Weld's been very good to me. I've got lots of opportunities to get sit on some very nice horses, so it's all going well at the minute, and hopefully we can keep going.
Yeah, you've been on quite a few of his horses this year. You've 26 wins under the belt, Oisin. Have there's apart from the Ledger standout horses for you this year?
Well, I've sat on. I won on a filly called Tornawa, who went on to win a Group One in France at the weekend. I think she could be very good. And the horse that I rode the other day, I was probably a bit unlucky in Tipperary. He finished second, but I think he's going to be a nice horse going forward, horse called Baseman.
Okay. Just maybe going back to earlier in the year, how did you manage the whole lockdown situation, Oisin?
We're still busy enough right now, but apart from that, there wasn't much else to do. I just kept busy. There's a road around my house, and I was doing plenty of running.
Well, there's what, 8 weeks left, is there, in the season? Obviously, you'll be hoping to build on your 26 wins. What would the target be now before the end of the year for you, Oisin?
The target's really just to keep riding winners. I don't have a set number that I want to get to, but I'll just keep busy and hopefully keep bringing in the winners.
And once the racing's done in Ireland, is there any plans at the moment for other opportunities for you?
Well, look, hopefully something will come between now and then, but I don't think I'll get back to Australia this year due to the COVID. But look, we'll be looking in to get away somewhere for the winter anyway.
You've now got one of the classics under your belt. You've got your first Group One. The result last weekend's the biggest in your career. It's one of the biggest as well. And for a Donegal jockey, Martin Harley picked up a Group One winner a number of years ago. Is it a case of once you've got the taste for one, you would like a few more, would you, in the coming years, Oisin?
Yeah, definitely. Look, you always want to keep trying, keep building, and keep improving. But look, we'll be definitely looking to keep going up to that level and keep improving, and hopefully we can.
And on the Donegal jockey note, we've got Luke McAteer had a double at the weekend. Your own brother Connor, of course, has had ones this year. Dylan Brown McMonigal's going well. Martin Harley's in a good stable too. The presence of Donegal jockeys is very impressive at the minute, Oisin, right across the board.
Yeah, definitely. Most of the lads down here are doing very well. They seem to be riding lots of winners, and they're doing the same, just keep trying to improve, but they're definitely doing that. I've seen Martin Harley is doing very well across the water, so look, hopefully we can keep it going, but it's going very well at the minute.
Okay, it certainly is. Listen, Oisin, many thanks for talking to us. I know it's a difficult week for horse racing and the passing of Pat Smullen, but congratulations once again on your Ledger win, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Oisin Orr speaking to me this week after his St Ledger victory. Well, to Gaelic Games, as you heard earlier in the day, the Ulster Council have confirmed the fixture details for the delayed 2020 Ulster Championships. Donegal will start the defence of their Ulster senior title and their hopes of three in a row against neighbours Tyrone on Sunday the 1st of November at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. That game will throw in at 1:30. Derry will meet Armagh on the same day at 4 o'clock, with the championship starting the night before Saturday with Monaghan against Cavan. The senior final is penciled in for Sunday the 22nd of November, but it won't be played at Clonus due to the absence of floodlights. It's the first time since 2006 that the final will not be played at the Monaghan venue. Meanwhile, the Donegal Miners will face off with Tyrone on Saturday the 24th of October, also at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. Derry starting the same day against Armagh, with the Minor Provincial Final set for the weekend of the 15th of November. Well, it is, of course, a huge weekend of Gaelic Games action in the Northwest once again, with a number of standout ties. Among them is two big finals in Tyrone. Up first, the Intermediate Football Final at Hayley Park in Omagh on Saturday, with Gartsheen against Eden Dork. That one starts at 6 o'clock. And then Trulick will continue the defence of their senior football title. The defending champions will face off against Dungannon in the senior final, also in Omagh, at 5:30 on Sunday. I've been looking ahead to those games with Tyrone GAA broadcaster and journalist Paddy Hunter. So, Paddy, looking ahead to the big Tyrone Senior Football Final this weekend, the defending champions back in the decider, Dungannon back in a final for the first time since 1986. As these two sides go into the big game, of the two of them, Paddy, who do you feel has had the tougher run into the final?
Shane, good to talk to you. First of all, I suppose it's very, very difficult to see because both were challenged to a point during their campaign. Dungannon, of course, were dead and buried against Loughmacrory, went to extra time and won then by 10 points. Tullock saw off the challenge of Galway, but they had 12 wades in that game. Tullock then beat Killeclacher after extra time and penalties, and Killeclacher would have been one of the fancy sides, I suppose you would say. And Dungannon, they eased a good victory over Arbow, again, battling performance from them. And then the semi-final, Dungannon against Errigal Kieran. You'd have put your house in Errigal, but they didn't perform on the day. And Trillick, well, they had the one-point victory over Cole Island. So the fact that Trillick beat Cole Island, who were many people's favourite sides, would probably put them in that category. But, you know, the Tyrone Championship, the Tyrone Championship at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah. You did say at the start of the campaign to keep an eye out for Dungannon, Paddy, and that's how it materialised.
Dungannon, you see, Paul Donaghy has been a massive addition to them. Paul Donaghy's sitting now with 30 points going into the final, which puts him on top of the table of the scorers charts, which is, of course, the Patsy Forbes Cup that it used to be on the spot trophy shop. I remember it that far back, right enough, but he's well placed for that. Lee Brennan's in third with 20 points, and in between them is Mark Bradley, obviously, with Killeclacher, was, I think it was 2-8, I think he scored in the campaign. So, you know, Donaghy's been a massive asset for them, but it's been very much the team ethic throughout the campaign. Big Paddy McNulty in the middle of the park, and then you've the likes of Kiefer Morgan able to come into the side, make a difference, play very well. You know, you're players of that quality, and to have that and that self-belief, and I suppose the fact that they have met Trillick before in the Intermediate Championship, but their history, you know, dictates that they're a big club. You know, you look back at the 50s and how dominant they were, but it's remarkable to think it was 1956 when they last won that title. Yep. And that's a remarkable thing for them. And I suppose you could class it as a bit of an indictment as well, the fact that they're such a big club, or they claim to be, and that's no disrespect to them, you know what I mean, in terms of being an urban centre of the county, a bit like Oma, a bit like Cole Island and Strabane, and the fact that they haven't won it in all those years is a blight in them. And, you know, Chris Rafferty knows that, the manager. I talked to Big Oddie Howell, and I'm sure people in Donegal remember Big Oddie playing for Tyrone. As he joked, he says, I'm talking to you here in Healy Park's pitch, he says, and many of the time I used to stand this pitch as well, even when I was playing, you know, one of those characters. But it means so much to him. He was part of the 86 team. He was in the middle of the field in 86 when they last played Trillick in the senior final. And he reminded me that Sean Donnelly keeps reminding him about how that game went, of course, as well. But, you know, Oddie is just is the life and soul of Dungannon. And you can feel they're all buzzing at the minute. And to get to this final is a massive achievement. But the one it will be even more. God, I don't know what they'd do if they did win it.
Yeah. Well, listen, Trillick are going to go into this, Paddy, no doubt, as favourites. And they'll be hoping that experience, having been there before and won it, will stand to them at the weekend.
There's no doubt about it, Oisín, the quality that Trillick have. But you mentioned experience, and you have the Matty Donnellys and the Richard Donnellys and, you know, the Gallaghers and all those players. You know, the quality they have, you know, it's amazing. Dan McDonald, O'Donnell in the back, you know, and all those quality players. But then they've got some of the most exciting young talent I've seen in the country in a long time. Two Garrity brothers, Simon and James, have been absolutely superb this year. You know, and then you roll back the years. Neil Gormley, a man you can call on to come into a game and change it for you. You know, I remember him going to Limerick many years ago with Tyrone, scoring a couple of goals. And it's that long ago Tyrone were playing Limerick in the National League, but down at the Gaelic Grounds, we covered for the radio. And he come on and scored two cracking goals, you know, but he's still knocking around. He's still there. And then you have the Grey lads, young Daly, you know, the list would go on. You know, Richard Donnelly there too, quality player. Him and Derek Gallagher showing no ill effects from injury as well through the campaign. But there's no getting away from the fact that actually it's been a very tough campaign for all the players. And it has all been condensed. And so, like, while not maybe playing to their full potential, have got over the line and got to the final. You know, Nigel Seaney's a very honest man as a manager, and he'd tell you himself that they haven't just got They haven't clicked yet. So that would be worrying maybe for Dungannon, I'd have to say.
Something new in the Championship, Paddy, this year has been the situations around penalties. And I suppose it's amazing to think that the decider come Sunday evening could be decided on spot kicks.
Could be. Thrillick have that experience, of course, from last year. Beat in the first round of Ulster up in Fermanagh. And I think they've learned from that. There's no doubt about that. I will mention just Gorton in a minute about penalties, because they're in the intermediate final as well, actually. So yeah. You've Neil Gormley, James Garrity, Matty Donnelly and Prunty O'Kane, who scored the penalties against Killiclaher. And remarkably, Lee Brennan had his saved. Missed it. So, you know, you can't put your house on the key men sometimes, but, you know, you have boys with a lot of experience there willing to step up, but, you know, young Gardy stepping up, he's only a cub at the end of the day, and he has that experience, but yeah, it is strange. All the clubs have made it clear they're not overly happy with the penalty shootout situation, but I honestly don't think it'll get to that at the weekend. I just don't think it will, you know, Washing.
What do you think it's going to get to then, Paddy?
I think Thrillick will probably beat them, you know. And it'll all come down to the experience. Although, saying that, Donaghy's quality for Dungannon this year, the form Eden Dark man, and it's going to be quite remarkable. A big weekend, obviously, as well for them, but Eden Dark in the intermediate final as well against Gordon City. Yeah. You know, he scored 9 points, 14 points, and 7 points in their game so far. Yeah. 30 points he sits with. He can win a game hitting some wonderful points. But I still think that the experience, the fact that they were beaten the final last year, or they won the final last year, all those things will come into play. And they've been around this last decade, you know, in semi-finals and finals and things. And, you know, I remember Oma beating them a couple of years ago in the semi-final, and that game won, you know, and all them things will all help you going into a final like this here. Because their own championship, as we know, is going to be so difficult to win. It always is. There hasn't been back-to-back champions since Carrick Moore, 2004-2005. You know, so all them wee things are probably floating around your head. There'll be a limited crowd, there'll be a different atmosphere. It'll not be county finals day like we normally have. You know, so that's going to play a part. But I still think Thrillick just have it in them in terms of quality. And that's no disrespect to a good Dungannon team who have proved a lot of people wrong this year, Oisín, for sure. No doubt about that.
On to that intermediate final then, Paddy Gorton against Eden Dark. How's this one going to go?
Well, everybody would sort of say Eden Dark coming to this game very much fancied. They beat Taddy Ray 4-15-4-7 in the semi-final. They were winning that game home and host at dinner time there at half-time, comfortably well ahead. But they allowed Thrillick back in the third quarter, and Gorton will take great heart from that. Gorton were in the semi-final in 2017, semi-final in 2018, beat Big Greencastle in the quarter-final last year, and beat Greencastle in the semi-final this year. The Greencastle and Gorton, they're, you know, neighbours like of the highest quality. They're the same town lands nearly, you know. So that was a big derby game on its own. But they've went extra. Gorton have went extra time in all their games. They beat Owen Rose and Newton Stewart by 6 eventually. They beat Eglish, who were the favourites. Penalty shootout in that one, and Big Rory Keenan, I'm sure people will be aware of him, would have been a county minor a few years ago, suffered badly with injury, but he's back and playing perhaps some of the best football of his career. But a lot of these guys have been around, and I was talking to their captain Faker McNulty over the week, and he was telling me that there's still two boys from the successful team in 2003 that last won the championship, and the fact that they're in the championship final is a big boost for them as well, because he explained they don't come around that often for a team like Gorton. You know, it's 11 years, I think, since the last got to the final. So they know that, you know, to take every opportunity that comes their way. They're looking forward to it. But they're meeting a very good Eden Dark side. And, you know, you only have to look at every line of their, you know, their team. Niall Morgan plays outfield for them. You have Darren McCurry, top scored in the senior championship last year with 122. He's 21 points scored this year. You know, and they've a raft of quality players, actually, and that might make life difficult, even though that Gorton have so much heart and so much commitment. A very limited squad. They've only used 20 players this year. Their manager is a guy called Colin McGarvey, and former Tyrone man Corbett McGinley's in there giving him a hand as well. And once they come in this year, they were trying to build on the good work done by the likes of Roger Keenan and Cahill McInerney over the past couple of years, but it was just getting over the line. They've got over the line out of the final. It's about stages for them. They've got the stage four, which is the final. But whether they can win or not, that's another question, actually, because Eden Dark, they beat Clare out of the park. They beat Rock, who won the junior championship last year. And as I said, they beat Tally Ray. But they are susceptible. There's no doubt about that. And that might be an issue for them going forward. I'm just talking to some of their players. Young lad Kane Ferguson there, Jake Ferguson in the middle of the park. I think Jake will be a county player soon. You know, they've Harry O'Connell there as well. Another familiar name, Morgan McCurry. Conor Mallon's the captain. His father, of course, was Joe Mallon from an 86 Tyrone team. You know, so there's a lot of history in that club. And they're determined to do well. The Gears done well last year, and they want to be doing that this year. There's no doubt about that, Ashin, you know, and that could drive them over the line. But Gorton aren't going to lie down, I can assure you that. That's a Saturday night game, incidentally. 6 o'clock throw-in for that one.
That's a big weekend of football ahead, Paddy. Intermediate final Saturday, senior game on Sunday. You enjoy the action.
Thank you very much, Ashin.
Paddy Hunter speaking to me earlier today, looking ahead to the action in Tyrone. Not forgetting about Derry, there's also quarterfinals at senior and intermediate level. The four senior last eight encounters in the Oakleaf County will see the defending champions O'Donovan Rossa from Mahrafelt taking on Swatra. That one starts at 2 o'clock in Ballaghy. It's followed by the quarterfinal of Ballinascreen against Ballanderry at 5:30 at Celtic Park. Former winners Owen Rue of Coleraine are up against Loop at 1 o'clock in Ballinascreen on Sunday. And the last of the quarterfinals in Derry is the tie of the round. It's at Celtic Park on Sunday at 4:30 in the afternoon, and it sees Slochneil up against Glen. Well, here in Donegal, taking centre stage this weekend, there's a number of semi-finals on the hurling and football front. In the hurling senior semi-finals, it will see Tatanta up against Spurt at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny at 4:45 on Saturday, with the second semi-final on Sunday at Hibernian Park in Burt is Buncrana against St Eunan's at 4:30. There's also two junior hurling championship semi-finals. On Saturday, Dunloe will play Tatanta B, and then on Sunday, it's Carndonagh against Eyre. While on the football front, taking centre stage in Donegal this weekend is the junior action, with two semi-finals in the A Football Championship. The first game is on Saturday at the Letterkenny Gaels Park Nagel pitch at 3 o'clock with Mavilla against Downings, and then on Sunday at the O'Donnell Park at 3, it's Letterkenny Gaels taking on Convoy. I've been looking ahead to both of those junior football semi-finals with a man that won the intermediate title with St Noel's, and that's Letterkenny's Barry Meehan. Well, Barry, it's a big weekend of junior action with two semi-finals, Saturday and Sunday. We'll start with the first game, Mavilla against Downings. Downings have already beaten Mavilla in the group stages of the competition. Now, it was a tight game, 5 points on it in the end. Would that possibly give Downings maybe a slight psychological edge going into the game on Saturday?
Maybe a slight psychological edge, Oisin. The fact that they only pulled away late in the game, you know, and Mavill were without Kieran Dover on the night, which would have been a big loss to them. It might give them a slight edge, but listen, Mavill won't feel any way that they're going to be whipping dogs here. You know, although Downings, I think they're unbeaten so far this year in the championship. I know they drew the first day against Letterkenny Gaels, and like, they wouldn't have been happy with conceding three goals that night. But on the other side of that, they had 17 points that day. And I suppose that's the one thing with Downings. Downings have a big score and threat. They put up a big score then against Robert Emmett. They beat Narossa and Mobile now in the remaining games, but they haven't been shooting the lights out of late. You know, in the last couple of games, you know, the first couple of games they were really putting up big scores. The last couple of games were really kind of grinding it out. They grinded it out against Narossa and they grinded it out against Mobile. So I suppose that shows that they're able to go both ways. Like, they're down from intermediate last year. They gained promotion to Division 2. So listen, I think Downing's going to be looking to go straight back up this year. So they're going to have their eye on getting over Mobile, and suppose they're going to place a lot of emphasis on the likes of Larkin Connors and the two McGrady's, Keelan and Johnny, and then Gary Ban McClafferty. you know. But listen, this game could be won and lost, I would say, around the middle of the field. Mavilla strong around the middle. I was impressed with them against Letterkenny Yields, Big Malachy McDermott and Warwick Skelly were very impressive that day in the group game. And then suppose you have Kieran Divert half forward and Tony McLenahan at six. You know, they're very important players for Mavilla. So when they're going well, Mavilla are going well. And suppose, as you mentioned already, their only defeat so far was two Downings, and that was in Downings. So listen, they'll fancy their chances in a neutral venue. I suppose with the fact that the game is being played at the Thorn Road, probably Mavilla might be a wee bit happier with that. I would say Downies would have liked maybe a bigger, wider pitch to let their forwards at it a bit, you know. But listen, Downings will probably be looking at the likes of Paddy Faulkner as well. He's very accurate there from freeze, you know, to carry another scoring threat. But I would expect maybe Downings to just shade this one, Oisin.
Okay. Well, the second semi-final on the weekend is on Sunday. Convoy taking on Letterkenny Gaels. And I would say both of these sides are using the motivation of losing out in big games in the last couple of years to try and get back to a decider, particularly Convoy, who lost at the semi-final stage for 3 years in a row, while Letterkenny Gaels were beaten finalists last year, Barry.
Yeah, and listen, suppose looking at Convoy first, you know, they came up out of Division 3 last year as well, up into Division 2. And I know they were looking to really make a push to stay in Division 2 and feeling that there would set them up for the Junior Championship this year. Now, that didn't happen, you know, I suppose with the Regional Leagues. You know, I think they would have benefited from the Regional Leagues. The fact that they had to play St Unions, Erua and McCool's in the Regional League, you know, that, like, and I know they might have shipped a couple of heavy defeats, but they would have learned an awful lot from those games, even to the extent that they went out last week and beat Bundoran in the Regional League. And I know, listen, Bundoran were after taking a heavy beating to St Unions the week before in the Championship. But at the end of the day, Bundoran are a senior club. Convoy are a junior club. And Convoy were able to go out and beat them. So listen, they're in good nick going into the semi-final. The fact that they've been unbeaten so far, they have a 100% record. They beat Cairn at home, Urris away, Pettigo at home and Muff away, you know. The comfortable ones at home, and they were able to get goals in those games. A lot tighter away, but listen, they were able to get over the line. And I think the fact that they're playing in O'Donnell Park, which is very like Convoy, you know, I think they'll be happy with that there, you know. They'll look to players like Ramy McNamee, who's back from Australia this year, Paddy Dolan, Peter Blake and Joe Blake, John Toy and Packy Mealy. Like, they're all good players, and like they'll be looking to make a big push this year to get to the junior final, as you say, after losing out the last 3 years in a row. And again, suppose Letterkenny Gaels have the you know, the last year missing out against Buncrana, and you know, and they weren't that far away against Buncrana in the final last year. It was only kind of in the late stages again that Buncrana pulled away. But looking at Letterkenny Gaels this year, they've been a bit up and down so far. But listen, they're still in the semi-final, you know. They were involved in that pulsating opener with Downings where they drew 3-8 to 17. Then they beat Robert Emmetson and Rossa fairly comfortably. But then they lost to Mavilla away. And I saw that game and listen, they really struggled that day. Mavilla were very strong around the middle. And I suppose the Gaels were over-dependent on Conor McBertie. And even at times when they had a lot of chances to put the ball over the bar, they were chasing goals, you know. And listen, if that's the same this weekend, they could be found wanting. However, in the quarter-final, they had Shea Doherty and Kieran Cannon back, which are big, big pluses for them, you know. And they'll be happy to have come through that game, especially when it was a tight game and they got a couple of late points. And it was from Ronan Frayne and Kieran Cannon at the end to pull them away, you know. So they're going to be looking to the likes of Conor McBertie, Cormac and Kieran Cannon and Ronan Frayne. You know, he had a very, very good year with the under-20s this year, and Shea Doherty, you know. And I think if they can keep the scoreboard ticking in this game and are there with Convoy in the last 10 minutes, I think they'll fancy their chances, you know. So I wouldn't expect the Convoy just to run away with it. I think if the Gaels are there, they'll put it up to them, you know. But I think maybe Convoy might just shade it, the fact that they've lost out in the semi-finals this last couple of years, and those big games against the senior teams might stand to them.
Yeah. Just finally then, a note on the quarterfinals. You mentioned those games obviously against the senior teams and Bundoran. But a competitive championship quarter final 7 days previous to the semi-final, that's good enough preparation for the likes of Gales and Mavill, do you feel, Barry?
Oh, I think it's fantastic preparation, and I think it's going to stand them in great stead. Listen, when you're getting games coming thick and fast and you're winning, you know, you have momentum, and, you know, and as you say, like, they're close games, you know, none of those teams were beating teams by much, you know, 1 or 2 points. And I think, listen, I think that's what's going to go down to this weekend again in the semi-finals. I don't think any team's going to run away with any of these games. I think whoever wins it, it's going to be 1 or 2 points either way.
Barry Meehan running the rule over the semi-finals in the Donegal Intermediate Football Championship. Well, soccer-wise, it's another big weekend in the Premier Division of the League of Ireland as the North West clubs battle it out, two of which are in the bottom half of the table. Derry City are taking on St Patrick's Athletic tomorrow evening at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. A win for Derry there will close the gap on the top five. However, if they suffer defeat, they could find themselves in the mix in the bottom placings. As for Finn Harps, they are on the road taking on Shelburne on Saturday. A positive result for Harps at Tulka Park could see them open a gap between themselves and Cork City, who of course play on Sunday against last year's champions Dundalk. And in between all that, tomorrow evening as well, Sligo Rovers, who are sitting in the top five, are up against Bohemians and looking to continue their form against the second place side from Dublin at the Showgrounds tomorrow evening. So results of course could have a big bearing on how things are sitting in the table come Sunday evening. There's a lot to play for, of course, as we enter the closing stages of the Premier Division. We're in the thick now of the second half of the matches. I've been looking ahead to the games involving the North West sides with a soccer reporter with the Derry Journal, Kevin McLaughlin. Well, first of all, Kevin, we'll touch on Finn Harps. You, of course, your mainstay is Derry City, but you have watched Finn Harps on a number of occasions. They held Derry to an all draw at Finn Park last week. You were in Balbuffet. What have you made of the Harps, particularly off the back of that performance last week?
Well, to be fair, the Harps will be kicking themselves. They've played Derry twice this year and they've drawn both games when they should have won both games. And that them 4 points come the end of the season could be a massive 4 points. Harps, you know, they're dogged. They have the players that you need if you're going to be in a relegation battle. I have to admit, after the first game at the Brandywell earlier in the season, I didn't think Harps would be down where they are. But like a lot of teams since the restart, they've struggled. Their form wasn't really at it. They've picked up their form recently, don't get me wrong. But there's a few games just after the restart which they had lost. They were in a wee bit of a blip. Massive one down at Waterford changed things around. And they've been, you know, they haven't really looked back since that game. And their next two games are absolutely humongous. And they're two winnable games. There's no doubt about it. Down at Tulka, first of all. And then, obviously, the biggie, then Cork at home.
Yeah. When they changed things about at the start of the second half and they put a bit more pressure on Derry, it started to work out for Harps, and maybe that's what we need to see the Harps guys doing for over the next couple of games, that second half performance and lifting it another bit.
Well, that's exactly it. You know what I mean? They've, you know, they have the players, the ability to go and roll the sleeves up, but they've also got the players with the ability to play a bit. The likes of Barry McNamee, Conley can play. Murr was doing really well down the wing. You know, it's these type of things where they can get at them and they have the fire part. It's just putting the ball in the net. That's their Achilles heel, like, to be fair, most teams.
Yeah, and I suppose when you can't stick it in the onion bag and as time goes on, you get more frustrated with that sort of scenario, don't you, Kevin?
That's exactly it. And that's what Ollie and Paul Higgerty will be pulling their hair out, just because they know. We keep coming back to it, but last week against Derry, they had chance after chance. The big Alexander Collar had chance after chance and didn't tickle him. And one was cleared off a line from Fulham. Was it on? Wasn't it on? We don't know. VAR would have been called for. But look, if they get a wee bottle of Rubble of Green, they get a goal. I think Harps are a team, if they take a lead, they're going to be a team they'd be hard to then get at and break them down. So it's just all about getting that first goal for Harps.
Yeah. Next up for them is Shells. They're going to Tulka Park on Saturday evening. You watched Shells a couple of weeks ago against Derry. What did you make of them, Kevin?
Second half, they were very good against Derry. Derry got their goal and what Derry have done a lot of times this season. They've stopped. They weren't really at it. And then second half, Shelburne came out and dominated. Deegan's decent in the midfield, good experienced players came back from England. Gary Deegan, Carey Shepherds, man's been about the league, won the title with Cork City in the FA Cup with Cork, you know, not too long ago. So they have experience there, no doubt about it. Culduff's another man up front. That's the difference between Harps and Shells. They have strikers up there that can put the ball in the net, but Alexei Culduff's experience, Carey Shepherds' experience. But they haven't, to be fair, too. They haven't scored that many, but I think when they roll the sleeves up, they can get a big result, which they did earlier in the season, obviously, at Ballybuffet. But against Derry, that they had the chances and they got the equaliser. But then, ironically, maybe because they got the equaliser, they stopped and Derry started dominating, could have nicked it then in the last 15 minutes. Derry had chances and didn't take them. The story of probably a lot of teams' season, apart from maybe Shamrock Rovers, everybody else aren't picking chances.
Yeah. If Harps are going to trouble Shells, what sort of area can they have an impact on come Saturday night if they are going to take what would be a huge victory or even back down the road with a point?
Well, it's the same thing. It's going to be the work ethic, which our Harps are renowned for, which they did against Derry. Give their all and set plays, you know, long for ones. Or, you know, people may criticise it and whatever else, but it's working. They're up there. Alexander Crawler's been the star man. You know, if he can just get the ball in the net, you've got Barry McNamee playing passes, you've got Connolly, we keep him back to them too as the creative players. Shea McElhinney and Tony McNamee for ones, and then you've got the big man of Webster and Fulham getting under. So it's going to be set plays. Shells, to be fair, they're sort of old school too in that way, where yes, they'd be decent in the air too with the experience that they have too at the back, but their keeper, to be honest, he is throwing a few on this year, so he would be one I would be possibly getting that if I'm at Harps, getting high balls on there. And a couple of weeks ago, he absolutely threw one and against Cork, where Cork got a point. Didn't help Harps that night, but it's going to be a case of get the ball in the box and hope you can trouble this keeper.
Yeah, we'll mention Cork as well, because you did say at the outset there's two huge games coming up here in the next number of weekends. They've got Cork City now coming to Finn Park on Sunday, the 27th of September. You also watched Cork. Is this a winnable game against a Cork side who have to make a long trip north, is it?
100%. That day that Cork came up to play Derry, sounds crazy, but it was significant. Cork came up that morning. Proper old school, no overnight stay, came up that morning and played, and that's massive. It's a long journey up from Cork to Derry, and then they played. Derry, to be honest, it's probably one of the better performances at the Brandable this year Derry's produced since the restart. And they ran out 3-1 winners. It could have been 4 or 5, and no doubt about it. Now, in saying that, when it was 2-1 to Derry, Peter Cherry made an unbelievable save, and then Derry virtually broke a minute later to make it 3-1, and that was the game over. But Cork, to be honest, you have been the worst team that I've seen this season. There's no getting away from that. Neil Fenn wants to play nice, pretty football. That's fine. Stick to your beliefs. But I don't know. You can stick to your beliefs if you get experienced players, and he doesn't. He's got too many young players in from England that are suddenly realising we're not playing English under-23, under-19 football. We're now playing senior men's football where it's rough and tumble and the ball's at you. And there's teams, yes, like Shamrock Rovers, Dundalk, I want to get it down and play. But Harps will be getting on their faces, and they have to get on their faces and get at them. But I can see Harps definitely won that one.
Yeah, okay, that's to come in a couple of weeks' time. Let's change now and look at Derry City. I suppose ahead of the game with Pats on Friday evening at the Brandywell, Declan Devine certainly will be looking for a much better performance than what was last week in Ballybuffet, Kevin.
100%. He knows that. He said that, to be fair to him. He's been honest, and I know everybody says, you know, you have to back your players, and the man in them that everybody's talking about, the man that's Jose Mourinho in his documentary and all on Amazon, and they're sort of saying he doesn't seem to back his players and you have to back him. Declan was right. They actually say that, just come out with the truth. Fans are watching it. Fans may not be at the game, but they're watching the games. They're seeing every match. Derry haven't been good enough. There's no doubt about it. They weren't good enough last week. And you have to give, particularly in a derby, a bit of pride, a bit of identity, as he said, and roll the sleeves up and get on. Derry didn't have a single shot on target at Ballybuffet last week, which is just shocking, to be brutally honest. He wasn't good enough. And that's where, from Fran Hart's point of view, you're sitting there going, how did we not win that game? We played against a team that didn't have a shot against us, and we couldn't beat them. So that would be annoying for Ollie and Higgsy in that point of view. But Derry are struggling. There's no getting away from this. They're definitely, people are talking about Europe, looking up for Europe. I'm the other way. I'm looking behind me at Harps and Cork, because a switch in results, if Harps get a victory, Derry lose, you're right in the mix yet. And I would worry that come the end of the season, the last game down at Cork, it's Derry against Cork, and it's a chase of, you know, relegation playoff or staying up. It is that serious. You know, people say Derry have got this and that and they've a string, but they don't, I've seen them too many times. They don't look like, you know, creating that many chances. They're so hot and cold. That's the problem. As I said earlier, Cork, they were very good. But Sunset, they haven't really turned up in games, and that's the problem. You can't afford, you have to be a bit more consistent, and that's the problem with Derry. They're not consistent enough.
What do you think is the root of the problem, Kim?
Well, it's just, you just can't keep making the changes that Declan and the backroom team, the recruitment just hasn't been good enough, and they keep changing it. You know, halfway through the season, you start every season adding 6 or 7 players. It takes cohesion then to get them gelled onto a team. Well, if you go then and the halfway through the season and you make another 5 or 6 changes, that's 11 changes. Like, it's just absolutely ludicrous. So you can't expect them to start playing well and gelling well. Now, they might gel well with 2 games to go, and that might be good enough. But at the minute, you're still looking over your shoulder at Harps and Cork coming, because that's how desperate it is at the minute. It's getting that consistency and finding that key. And you're only going to get that when you actually get a settled side. Look, at the end of the day, the teams that are sitting up the top 3 positions, there's no coincidence that their whole sort of squad has been there for years, from Shamrock Rovers, the Bows, the Dundalk. Yes, Dundalk have been terminal the last couple of weeks with management and all that, that's fair enough, but the most of the squads are in the top 3, that's no coincidence. Their squad's set up. You have to be consistent and keeping a squad, and Derry are so far off that, it's frightening.
Would a win tomorrow night against Pats change your thinking on it?
It would, because you're then moving further away from Pats, and depending on how Harps and Shelburne get on, you'd be possibly moving away from either Harps or Shelburne, or both if it's a draw. So yes, it would change it. 1-1 can change it, and there's no denying that, because it's so tight. But for the teams that are just above Harps and Cork, Shells, Derry and St Pats, them three are all looking over their shoulder. I don't care what anybody's saying we're looking up and we're trying to catch Waterford and Sligo for Europe and all. Because, no disrespect, you're not catching the top 3 even at this stage, you know. So you're hoping one of the top 3 won the FA Cup and then 4th gets you into Europe. But if I'm St Pat's, Derry or Shelburne, yes, I would love to get in a wee run. And if you did get in their run, you could possibly get 4th. But realistically, because the consistency level of all 3 of them clubs aren't good enough, they're just going to be happy to stay mid-table, stay up, and start again next year.
Okay, just finally then a note on Sligo Rovers, who will be looking to continue. It's fair to say they're fantastic form since the return of the league, because they were bottom of the table. Liam Buckley's done a great job with Sligo, particularly in his recruitment. There's a couple of ex-Derry men in there as well. They're hosting Bohemians, which will be a really interesting test for them tomorrow night and Friday.
Bows are, you know, they can be hot and cold. They were very unlucky against Shamrock Rovers a couple of weeks ago. They lost the game. Everybody was saying title decider, and then they obviously suffered a loss to the Waterford, who I watched the game, played very, very well and were deserved winners. John Sheridan, who took a lot of criticism for his alleged remarks against Dundalk. He's done an unbelievable job at Waterford. So that was a great result for them against Bows. But Sligo have been flying. I've seen Sligo firsthand, their first game back from the restart, and they came to Brandywell and bossed it and won that night. It was their first victory of the season. Coughlin up front. The Freese have been very, very good up there. McFadden, the defence has done well. Colley in midfield. They've signed Junior, obviously. He maybe hasn't set the world alight just yet, but he's got that pace, the stretch teams, and he's causing problems. So Liam Buckley has to give a lot of credit. He's done fantastic well. Plus the supporters have backed them to help me getting that fundraiser, which I alluded to the last time. You might have been on with yourself asking about that. And they've spent it wisely, and they're flying up the table. And they're a side that's looking, we can get into Europe here. And what a turnaround that would be.
Yeah, it would be a huge turnaround. Listen, Kevin, enjoy the football at the weekend. Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
Kevin McLaughlin of the Derry Journal, taking a look at the big matches in the Premier Division, of course, involving the North West sides this coming weekend. Finally, just a note on some other soccer matches coming up locally. The Ulster Junior Cup semi-final is on Sunday. Kildrum Tigers playing the Premier Division champions of Inishowen, that is Alia. Whoever comes through that game will play Cavan Town in the final. Extra time and penalties if required there. Well, we finished, of course, seasons on the football front at junior level in the Northwest over the last couple of weeks. There's a brand new season starting this weekend in Inishowen. There's a full programme of games for Sunday the 20th of September in the Premier Division, First Division and Division 2. The 4 games in the top top flight. We'll see Ellis against Mavell. Kilmany Shamrocks, newly promoted, are taking on Glengad United. Kilmany Shamrocks will play Buncrana, and Greencastle are up against Carr. No game, of course, for the defending champions, Aya, who are in Cup action. And that's it from the Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of the show, you can, of course, recap on the Score, which will be available online on highlandradio.com round about 8 o'clock this evening. Maureen Fitzsimons will have her next sport here in Highland tomorrow morning after the 8 news. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.